We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We got a lot of football to talk about. It is media day for the Golden State Warriors. I mean, good times. Good times in store for the Golden State Warriors. By the way, Gianna, that picture you have of, what is it? Curry whispering something to Durant from behind a basketball.
Yeah, they were obviously standing up there to do their professional, you know, their photo shots for media day. It was pretty funny. He specifically put the ball in front to make sure we couldn't tell what he was saying.
Right. So. No lip reading. Nope. So we have reposted that, asking everyone to please caption this photo. Best wins what? What should they win? I'll tell you what. I will steal something from someone's office. I don't know what. I don't know whose office. But I will steal something from this radio station and mail it to you if you come up with the best caption of the day.
That works.
What do you think of that? Does that sound like a good contest? You don't know what the prize is? Neither do I. I don't even know where I'm going to find it. But I'm going to steal it from someone's office, and I'm going to mail it to you if you come up with the best caption of the day. Keith Love, of course, is disqualified from any and all contests because he is a friend of the program. Keith, what a unbelievable weekend we had in sports. It was touched by heartfelt moments, and it was touched by tragedy. Before we talk to you or ask you about anything that has to do with who won or lost, let's talk about Jose Fernandez and the true tragedy that all of baseball suffered by losing this young guy. He seemed to have a joy about him that is hard to find at the major league level.
It's a tragedy anytime. Any three people, you know, we're only talking about Jose Fernandez, there
right.
Are two other people on that boat as well, all between 24 and I think 27 years old, all lost their lives on Saturday night. I just cannot stop thinking about Fernandez's mother. We've all seen the clip. I think it's been playing again. A lot of people have tweeted the clip of him reuniting with his grandmother. Now we find out Fernandez's girlfriend is pregnant. They had just announced it within the past week. It's just such a tremendous human loss, and I that's the part that I can't quite get over. It's why I've actually said very little about it on social media. There's nothing wrong with saying, with talking about what Fernandez was as a baseball player. It's just the family aspects, the people who must be grieving right now. That's the thing I personally can't get past.
Right, and I mean, any mother losing a son is hard. And it's not
like,
well,
no parent should ever bury a child.
Right, right. But I mean, the story between them two is just staggering.
Mm-hmm.
Diving off of a boat into pitch black open water to save her. I mean, it's just.
Hollywood.
Yeah, the people.
Right? You would right. think it was fictional.
The people who grow up here do not know how lucky we are to be here, and just look at the struggle. We were talking about it earlier. No one's swimming to Cuba. Like, that is a one direction
right.
swim.
That's very true. That the highway does not go south, only north.
Well, let's talk a little baseball, because that's what we do. And, you know, it is, sports are supposed to be a fun distraction from life. It is very, very sad, though, about Jose Fernandez. Vin Scully, however, could not have had a better get out of town game in his final game at Chavez Ravine. You know, beyond Jackie Robinson, he's the most important Dodger of all time. He really, really is. How mushy do you, as a cold, hard analytics looker of statistics, get about your broadcasters, especially Vin Scully?
Well, Vin Scully's not, you know, about my broadcasters in general. No, not really. I joke very frequently that my favorite broadcaster is the mute button. Especially now, you've got, you know, I can watch a game on the iPad and turn the sound off and be doing something else at the same time and not have to listen to the blathering. But Scully, I mean, he was an absolute throwback. Throwback simply because he would do games himself, which is unheard of. At this point, I feel like most broadcasters are trying to cram as many people in the booth as they possibly can. And I say that as somebody who's been crammed in a booth at a game before. But Scully also, his style of humor, his storytelling, what would pass for analysis. He's not an analyst. I doubt he would accept the term. But what he was telling you about the game was just sort of this folksy, anachronistic style that just nobody would do it now. And if you tried to do it now, especially if somebody, you know, my age, I'm half of Scully's age, if I went on the air and tried to do that, I'd be laughed at, and deservingly so. I grew up listening to Scully on a lot of the NBC games of the week back when it was hard to see anyone except I grew up in New York. So it was the Yankees and the Mets and occasionally the Braves, if, you know, once we got cable and got TBS. You didn't see a lot of other teams. So watching those games on Saturday was a huge part of being a baseball fan. And his voice absolutely means something to me because that's my childhood from when I was probably 7 or 8 up until I went off to college. That was a part of being a baseball fan every Saturday was being home and watching whatever game it was. It might have been a terrible game, but it was the experience of seeing teams you didn't normally see and then hearing Vin Scully's voice.
Keith Law, baseball insider from ESPN here on 95.7 The Game. The Giants watch their rival wrap up a fourth straight National League West crown. That might be bragging rights had the Giants not won 3 World Series there. So that's a good thing that happened. How good is this Dodgers team? Will they finish off their National League West championship differently this year as opposed to years in the past where they were a quick flameout?
Every year, though, they've come pretty close to advancing out of the first round, close enough that I never felt like they were outclassed or that they were poorly constructed for the postseason. We've been doing this for years now. Postseason's got a lot of randomness in it. If it's not quite a crapshoot, it's fairly close. I think the Dodgers have set themselves up pretty well for the postseason. I think the pitching is good. It might be the best defensive unit they've run out there in several years. They've got some middle relief issues, but I could probably say that about every division winner at this point. The Red Sox might be the best team in the American League. Their middle relief stinks. The Cubs have had huge middle relief problems. The Nationals might have an argument against that. And let's face it, if the Giants get to the postseason, what's the number one Achilles heel of the Giants team? It's the bullpen. So I'm not going to point to the Dodgers and say, well, their bullpen's a problem, because pretty much everyone's bullpen is a problem at this point. Everything else that really matters in the postseason looks pretty good right now for L.A.
If the Giants don't make the playoffs, it would be their first time since the 08-09 season they didn't make it in back-to-back years. Do you think we would see wholesale changes for a team that loves to ride and die with loyalty?
I doubt it. You might know better than I would because you're in the market. And I mean, I think I've mentioned this before. I've had executives from other teams say, we don't even call the Giants about their guys, like their scouts or their coach or anything, because no one ever leaves. It's an organization. They keep everybody, and everybody wants to stay. And I know people who've been with the Giants for 20-plus years. So my guess is if Bochy came and said, you know what, I'm done. I've just had enough. It's a grind. I'm getting older. I want to go do something else that's a little lower key. Then, yes, then I could see them making a bunch of changes. And by the way, they've got a few managerial candidates right there. They probably just change everything from within. I cannot imagine a scenario where they do something more drastic than that, like going outside the organization, the way the Twins are doing now, where there might be a real rebuild going on in Minnesota for the first time in decades. That's not going to happen in San Francisco. I'd be absolutely floored if there was anything other than an internal reshuffling.
So Keith Law is not starting the rumor that Bruce Bochy is retiring at the end of the year. Everyone can calm down and take a deep breath right now. But if he did, Keith, is Ron Wotus first in line in-house?
I think he'd be great. I don't know what their internal preferences are. I know from talking to people in the industry, and obviously he's interviewed once or maybe twice for other jobs, everyone says he'd be good at it. And it's so hard to tell, especially for guys who either don't have managerial experience or haven't managed in a long time, because Wotus obviously has been with the big league club. You don't really know what kind of manager a guy's going to be, especially tactically speaking, but they speak well of his personality. They compliment a lot of the things he's done with San Francisco in terms of coaching individual players, in terms of infield positioning. Everything he's done there has been to the good. So a lot of people at least say, well, we'd love to see him get a chance. That's probably the most likely scenario, is that Bochy at some point says, I'm a Hall of Fame manager anyway. I've just had enough. He steps aside, probably takes on some kind of advisory role with the club, and then Wotus just moves up to the manager's chair.
by the way, 17 runs for the Mets officially puts them back on the radar. I mean, that's how that works. Who do you think would give the Cubs the biggest scare if they bumped into them? The Giants' experience, the Cardinals' familiarity, or the Mets who are knocking them in from around the bases and knocked them out last year?
I think it's the Nationals, because you could run into that pitching staff. And I know Strasburg's probably not coming back, certainly not for the first series. Still, there's enough firepower there in the rotation. And now in the bullpen, it's looking better. I could absolutely see them causing any team trouble just by shutting them down, where they go into a series of three, a five-game series or seven-game series, just come in and only give up a run a game for a couple of games in a row. If the staff is good enough for that. It is not necessarily consistent enough that I'm pointing to them and saying, oh, yeah, they're the favorite. I'm saying that's the team with the greatest capacity to roll in and just shut down an offense, which is exactly what happened to the Cubs in the NLCS last year against the Mets. Cubs had a good offense last year, too. They just ran into a buzzsaw.
One Oakland A's question, because it's at the time of the year we just hope the Oakland A's play quickly. Let's actually, there are one or two guys to watch and keep an eye on, and Jarrell Cotton is certainly one of them. Another quality start. He's got a 1.44 through four career starts. What's not to like?
Actually, if he can continue, especially to go through opposing lineups three times, one of the concerns, because I don't know that he's really got the two advanced enough secondary pitches yet. In other words, I think he's still a work in progress that has that upside. As long as he's in the rotation, you leave him there. He's succeeding. He seems to be continuing to develop. I think you go into next year figuring he's somewhere in the rotation. I don't care what number spot he is. He's a starter. We've talked before about the concerns they have about him in relief, where he just folks in the Dodgers organization said he couldn't get ready quickly enough to come in as a reliever. So he has to work out as a starter. But he's athletic enough and will at least show you the possibility of the three pitches. But I think he can work out there. And honestly, if he's the main part of the return, the actual value you get from the Rich Hill trade, that's great. It's probably 6 years of a big league starter for a guy that you signed on the cheap and paid, what did they actually pay Hill? $4 million total? That's almost nothing. It's less than fifth starter money in today's marketplace.
Or, as far as the A's are concerned, way too much to spend on anyone. have you had an Arnold Palmer to mourn the passing of Arnold Palmer?
No, I probably should, though.
You should.
I am a fan of the beverage.
It's a great drink.
Yes.
It's a great drink.
It is a great drink. What a great honor, right? I mean, he will be remembered forever for that.
Oh, look.
That's going away.
If you could have one thing named after you, like a drink, a burger, sandwich, that's as big as it gets.
Right. Yes, absolutely. And iced tea is like the trend drink now, too. So if anything, I think it's even more popular. It's a good legacy to leave behind.
What would be in the Keith Law besides analytics?
Oh, there'd be rum in it. Absolutely.
Nice. We just asked Jack Del Rio, Raiders head coach, what would be. And he said, well, Jack Daniels, of course.
There you go. See, that worked.
Keith, thanks a lot, man. Always appreciate your time.
Yep, my pleasure.
Thank you, Keith Law, ESPN, here on 95.7 The Game. We still got an awful lot of people on hold wanting to talk about how the Raiders picked up a win, how the Niners got a boot snapped off in their you-know-whats, and let's get back into it all right now. The one and only Butcher Boy from here in San Francisco. Butcher, what's up, buddy?
Beautiful day, sundress conditions. Man, Bay Area is the best place to live in the world.
It really is.
It's fantastic. We only have a couple of these days a year, but it's fantastic. Hey, piggybacking on Keith Law, you got to give credit to the Dodgers. It's probably the most resilient Dodger team I've seen in my lifetime, going back, into the 80s. This team has fought back. They deserve so much credit. And Dave Roberts, I have to give him credit. He has out-coached Bochy at every turn this year. And even as a diehard Giants fan, I have to tip my cap to them. They really bounced back this year. So I just had to bring that up real quick. On the Niners, Damon, the discrepancy in talent yesterday was appalling. I mean, it really was. The Seattle Seahawks, not only are they 7, 8, 9 Pro Bowl, all pro players deep, I mean, they literally had that game done in two plays.
Yeah.
I mean, two plays that game was over. And it's just – it's so sad, and it's beyond breaking down the coach. It's beyond breaking down which one of the three backup quarterbacks they want to put in there. This is another wasted, lost season, and it's on Trent Baalke, and I'm so over it. This thing where they weren't going to suit up Ponder, but then they have Kaepernick backing them up, but he's not ready to play, but he is, but he isn't. It's just, man, they should have drafted a quarterback last year. They should have drafted multiple quarterbacks.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. So if Colin Kaepernick isn't physically fit enough to get in the game, why was he already in a game this year? That seems negligent. No wonder why he had hurt and surgeries last year. So that ain't it. I'm not buying it. I don't want to hear that he's not ready or prepared. Sam Bradford got off a plane in Minnesota and won a Monday night football game, for goodness sakes. We then saw, or Sunday night, whatever it was, and then, like, this is a guy who's won playoff games at Lambeau Field, won playoff games on the road, has more playoff wins than Montana and Steve Young on the road, but he can't come in to mop up let's see what you got duty in Seattle? What gives?
He can't even get a look. And if that's the case, why aren't you suiting up Ponder? I'm not saying Ponder's the answer. He's not, but I'm sick of watching Blaine Gabbert. I mean, Jesus Christ. Anyway, the Niners suck. They just absolutely suck, and it's becoming unwatchable again, unfortunately, which sucks. On to Arnold Palmer, real quick. Obviously, you know I love golf, diehard. My grandpa loved the King, loved Arnold Palmer. His one Bay Area tie that I haven't heard anyone bring up today, he was at the height of his powers in the mid-60s. The U.S. Open comes to Olympic Club here in San Francisco. He's got a 6 or 7 stroke lead on the back nine of the final day to Billy Casper, who he's playing with. He turns to Billy Casper. He says, I think they've got this one all wrapped up. Billy says, I don't know about that. Next thing you know, Billy marches back and ties it up. They go to an 18-hole playoff the next day, and Billy Casper wins the U.S. Open. Palmer never is the same, and it's just really, really sad. I saw a great documentary basically breaking this whole thing down about the Olympic Club, and Arnold was obviously the king. Everyone loved him. In an era when you didn't have a lot of personalities and in an individual sport, he was the guy who popped off the screen. Jack might have been more talented. Tiger might have been more talented, but no one was more loved worldwide than Arnold Palmer. And so, yes, I'm so glad to hear all the Arnold Palmer love, and he deserves every bit of it. And all the different photos you've seen on the internet, Damon, doesn't that, like, capture America?
Oh, yeah. It's a moment in time. It's just frozen in history. It's like, he's like a Norman Rockwell painting. He just gives you warm, fuzzy feelings.
He really doesn't. You bringing up the whole, what would your drink be? I mean, it's just, the guy's an icon. The umbrella, everybody knows it. If there would be no golf, there'd be no Tiger, there'd be no Nike the way we look at it now with the endorsements, if it wasn't for Arnold Palmer, because what he did off the course, was as big as his actual contributions on the course. So kudos to him. And God, Damon, seeing all those tweets from me today, when does Warrior basketball start? I can't wait.
It's right around the corner. Well, preseason starts Saturday, believe it or not. The first Warrior preseason game of the year is Saturday, for goodness sakes. So the answer is really soon. Butcher, thanks an awful lot. Good to talk to you. And, you did talk about, look, first of all, the late course has broken many a man. That's the Olympic Club. The late course will kick your ass. Like, that's what that's built to do.
Yeah.
Billy Casper.
I know. I grew up with his family. One of his daughters are one of my best friends, and I grew up with that family.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you are very close to the Casper family. So,
very, in
a way, we're like less than 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon away from Arnold Palmer right here.
I know. And to see Julia post pictures of Arnold when he passed away on Sunday, just, he was such a nice person, and just that whole family. It's very sad to lose the greats when it happens, but you respect and love what they leave behind, their legacy.
It came from a different time, a different era, but there are very few people where you can say, well, if you love blank, you got to love blank. If you loved golf, you loved Arnold Palmer. The only person who was allowed to not like Arnold Palmer was Jack Nicklaus.
Fair enough.
That's it. And he did like Arnold Palmer, by the way. They're great, great rivals. Let's go to Zach in Fairfield as we get back to the Raiders. What's up, Zach?
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for taking my call. I actually wanted to put some 2 cents in on the Raiders game. I actually, I missed part of the radio station because I was driving home from work, but I didn't know if you guys talked about Emerson, man. He really stepped up his game, and he really made some really, really key plays that really stopped their offense from getting some type of momentum to really push the ball down the field more.
He made one of the best defensive plays of the entire year when he came up for a really big third down pass breakup where he just basically leapt into the picture to get his hand on the ball. I can't remember who the target receiver was, but Emerson prevented it from happening, and that was one of those moments in the game where it was like, hey, you know, the Titans are officially like two first downs away from making this way more interesting than it should be. And it might have ended that way, too. But Emerson had a very good game for a day where not a lot of defensive shine came through the TV.
Yes, and I also wanted to go and give up to the offensive line for pretty much protecting Carr up until that one sack that was kind of late in the game. I think that offensive line is something that the Raiders really weren't too good at these past couple of years within the past decade, and I really appreciate the fact how I am still a Raiders fan. I started liking the Raiders when they were not a good team, and I was like one of the only people in my family that was a Raider fan. I'm so glad to rub it in everyone's face. I'm proud of my Raiders this year, man.
Don't get too cocky. You should be enjoying this for sure. You should absolutely be enjoying this for sure because, again, you can't just enjoy the destination. That's the worst passenger there is. Like, wake me up when we get to the Super Bowl. Then I'll enjoy this. You have to enjoy the journey. And the Raiders are now on a journey to credibility. And some people will tell you. They're not as close as you think. There's always someone trying to rob you of your enthusiasm. And look, there's also some realities to let you know that the Raiders might not be as like lock loaded, ready to go to the playoffs as you might have hoped. But they're on their way. And to get back to the offensive line, the Raiders are second in the NFL in rushing, and their quarterback has been sacked for real once. Even though there's two sacks against the Raiders O-line, that was when Carr ran out of bounds for a zero-yard gain, which is credited as a team sack, even though he was not physically hit on that play. So Derek Carr's been sacked twice, but really only once. Mick in San Jose. What's up, Mick?
Hey, Damon. Good afternoon. Two quick things.
Yes.
Number one, you said wasn't a lot of defensive shine coming off the screen for the Raiders. Hey, don't look at Gift Horse like you opened today with about the win. If we give up 10 points, there's plenty of shine after the 30-point debacles of the first 2 weeks. So that's first. Second, Damon, you talked about the honor of having a drink, a burger, or a sandwich named after you. I know you have to know that at Ike's Sandwiches, there's the Damon Bruce, and I teach high school in the Bay Area at Archbishop Mitty. And a kid in my class gave the best speech about Ike's. And the feature of the speech was the Damon Bruce sandwich.
I am honored. I will be remembered long after the show's ended. And they'll be like, was he a good host? No one will even remember. They'll be like, but he's a delicious sandwich.
You have a good day.
Thank you very much. You have a great day too, Mick, with a little sandwich love. Yeah, no, seriously, I told Ike, I said, this is more than anything I do on the air, this is probably my legacy right here. So thank you. I really, really appreciate it.
For people who don't know what's in the Damon Bruce.
It is tri-tip, onion rings, provolone. By popular demand, they serve it on Dutch Crunch. I don't like Dutch Crunch, but we bowed to public popular demand because so many people were ordering it on Dutch Crunch. They just made it. I like a soft roll.
Okay.
To me, Dutch Crunch is like taking a pitchfork and rubbing it against the top of your roof of your mouth. I'm not a fan.
Hard.
So I get it on regular soft roll, but people love it on the Dutch Crunch, and that's how it is served on the menu, I believe. But I only had one request. I said, Ike, I want to be the most expensive sandwich you have that isn't a specialty sandwich, like a sandwich that's featured on like Man versus Food,
right,
that sort of thing. And I am.
What is tri-tip?
You can't afford me, girl.
You're pricey.
I'm a little pricey.
Save it.
By the way, single best caption we've seen so far for caption, the whisper of Steph Curry to Kevin Durant. The best one I've seen so far. Curry's whispering to Durant, check out Gianna's hair.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite.
That is the clubhouse leader right now. When we come on back, we're going to have more of your phone calls right around the corner. And we're also going to play for you the little conversation that we had with Klay Thompson today over at Warrior Media Day. That's coming up in just a few moments here on 95.7 The Game. Don't miss your chance to play our 95.7 The Game Pro Football Weekly Pick'em Contest presented by Atlantis Casino Resort and Spa in Reno and Evergood Sausage. Visit the contest page at 957thegame.com. Make your weekly picks for a chance to win a $100 gift card and an invite to our playoff viewing party in Reno. Plus, everyone qualifies for a catered party from Evergood a Sausage. 888-957-9570. More of your calls. Klay Thompson coming up next. All right, we got to share with you a feel-good moment coming from Miami Stadium where the Marlins play. Is everyone wearing 16 today? Every single Miami
yes.
Marlin is wearing the number 16 jersey to honor Jose Fernandez today. We saw D. Gordon lead this game off. He went to the plate, and he's a left-handed hitter. He stood in the right-hander's box for the first pitch. He was wearing Jose Fernandez's helmet. After taking one pitch in the right-handed box, he steps into the normal side of the box that he stands in to hit. He's in the left-hander's batter's box. By the way, not only are they wearing number 16 jerseys, everybody's wearing Fernandez on the back of their jersey. The Marlins canceled their game yesterday. Again, first game since the passing of Jose Fernandez. D. Gordon took a pitch in the right-hander's box to honor him. Goes to where he belongs. Two pitches later, this.
Gordon to right. It's deep. And it's gone! D. Gordon has hit it out. And the Marlins have a 1-0 lead.
This goes on for quite a while. It was a very emotional home run. There are hugs. He's crying as he's rounding the bases. Very cool moment.
Oh, I have goosebumps.
Very, very cool moment. Every now and then, sports, it gets you. Very, very cool moment. Very, very cool. Thanks for playing that. Thanks for getting that ready to go. That was good stuff. Very, very good stuff. Thanks so much to the Miami Marlins Radio Network for the call. So we got people on hold. I got a lot of stuff going on here on the text line. Damon, I've heard that the New York Times and the Washington Post are sending full-time reporters to cover the Warriors this year. My, how things have changed, Oakland Chuck. Yeah, it's amazing. If you went to Warriors Media Day 6 years ago, there were 12 people walking around. There were 10 times that walking around. It's very, very cool to see this team get the attention it does deserve. And they deserve quite a bit of attention. We're going to have some Klay Thompson for you here in just a little bit. Let's go ahead, though, get back to the phones. This is Rick in Fresno. What's going on, Rick? How you doing?
I'm doing great. And first off, I want to say thanks so much for queuing that up. The D. Gordon thing, that was incredible. I was not aware. I'm not watching that game. I want to. Consider I'm a Giants fan, and I need the Mets to lose either way. But I do want to say rest in peace to Jose Fernandez and the King, of course. And I have had my Arnold Palmer, but I did have to spike it with a little bit of Captain Morgan.
There you go.
but moving on to the Raiders, I wanted to kind of bring up some stuff. I'm with you, Damon. Earlier you were talking about people complaining, Raiders fans complaining about, you know, how we win the games. And what was it that the great Al Davis said?
Just look good, baby. Just win convincingly, baby. Just blow them out by 30, baby. No, just win, baby.
Just win, baby. And that's what we're trying to do, and I hope that it continues. I felt that they did a lot better on defense yesterday. There were still some things that they could have cleaned up on, but if I had to take one negative thing out of the game, And this is all Jack Del Rio's call, if he wants to challenge it or not. But late in the game, there was a pass to Crabtree that was definite pass interference, which would have got us back into Titans territory, and we probably would have come away with at least a field goal. put a little bit more points on the board, but he didn't call it. And I was really surprised coming off of those two challenges that he won the previous week. But hopefully moving forward, he would make a challenge call like that, because that was hands down pass interference.
You're not allowed to challenge pass interference. You're not.
And really?
Here's the thing. So you're not allowed to challenge an opinion call. You can challenge procedural calls, but not opinion. One of the things that bothers me the most, and thank you very much for the call, is this whole, look, if you cannot challenge pass interference, you can't challenge an ump's opinion. Like, I get that. But there are ridiculous times. Like, to me, the whole, you can challenge this, you can't challenge that, I can't stand it. Like, it's an arbitrary thing. There's no reason why. If you have it on camera, if you can correct it, you should. Maybe not a pass interference call, but it's just a little bit too much. Let me tell you, the Bears gambled early on Monday Night Football, recovered an onside kick after one of their, Sunday night last night, recovered an onside kick early in the game that might have turned things around a little bit. They said, you know, no offsides. It was the least amount of offsides I've ever seen on a team that recovered an onside kickoff. Hold on. We do have breaking news. Do you have the breaking news sounder? Do we even pretend that's a thing anymore? Are we ignoring that again? Oh! You gotta be kidding me. The 49ers are announcing Anthony Davis has told them he's retiring. Again, nothing about Anthony Davis says I love this sport. Nothing about Anthony Davis says I'm mature to be a professional athlete. Nothing Anthony Davis has done has brought any honor to the 49ers. This guy has retired again. I'm your tackle. No, I'm not. I'm retiring. No, I'm not. I'm coming back. I'm your backup tackle. I'm a starting guard. No, I'm not. I'd rather be a backup. I'd rather do anything other than guard. No, you know what? I'd rather not play football. When you're in the prime of your career and you retire, that's what I call a red flag. And that is what he did. Anthony Davis, I don't want to see you back in the building. You will not be remembered fondly. That's all there is to it. The 49ers welcome guys back who are on the verge of maybe wanting to do it or not. They're just, Jim Harbaugh wouldn't have put up with any of this crap. By the way, did you see what Michigan did this weekend? Big Blue. I mean, come on. He's got them singing. They whooped Penn State. Let's go to Raider Leo. What's up, Raider Leo? How are you?
Damien, thanks for having me.
Did you call me Damien? You just called me Damien. Oh, hang up on Raider Leo. That is it. Hey, nothing gets you cut off faster than that. Sorry. We will tolerate no Damiens.
Oh, yo, yo.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
It's never going to work. Jesse in Lodi. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, what's up, Damien? Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right, yeah. First things first, I just want to get into the whole defensive thing in the last 2 weeks. You know what? I didn't panic. All my buddies at work kept trashing me when I got to work about the defense. It was the worst defense in history. I didn't panic. I knew they were going to come out with a game plan this week. I knew Carl Joseph was going to make a difference. This guy, Corey James, I was looking at him in the preseason. I've been saying we need to put him in. He was looking bad in the start in the preseason also. I believe these two new starters are going to make a difference for us. Okay, second point I wanted to make was everybody keeps screaming about, you know, go downfield a lot. Change the offense up, keep the pressure with Carr. I like what we're doing right now with the balance attack. I like the way we're running the ball, we're passing it, we're running the ball, we're passing it. It's keeping the defense honest. And my last point I wanted to make, Action Jack, he's just been impressing me every week now with his play calling and his gutsy moves that he does. The savvy in him, you can just tell he's a former player, and I think we finally found our coach for prominence. What do you think, Dan?
He's the guy. I mean, I think he's the guy, and people want to talk about what he isn't, hear what he is. He's a guy that has the full attention of everybody in his locker room, and that right there means you're halfway to being where you need to be. Jack has this team's ear. I think he's got the respect of everyone in that locker room, and that is important. By the way, the Marlins are feeling it tonight. They are leading the Mets 4-0 now. And obviously there's an awful lot of feeling in that building as every single player is wearing a Jose Fernandez jersey, who is a Miami Marlin tonight. Very, very cool. We got that on. We will pay attention to it. And if Marlins ride this to a win over the Mets, that's good for you, Giants fans. We got our eye on it. We're going to have Bruce Jenkins join us next hour when we come on back. Klay Thompson from the Golden State Warrior Media Day. We had a little one-on-one with him on a day where you can't get a lot of one-on-ones with the Warriors. It's a good thing Klay is a pal of the show because we talked to him, and we'll give it to you next. It's a Raider Monday here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Antioch Toyota, Oaks Card Club, FH Daily Chevrolet, and Dolan's Lumber Doors and Windows. We're going to get back to football here in just a second. But it's Warriors Media Day. Gianna, by the way, you took some great pictures over at Media Day. You took one of Steph Curry whispering a little something to Kevin Durant from behind a basketball while they were getting their photos taken. And we asked people to caption it, and I'm going to steal something from someone's random office and mail it to the winner.
I love it.
That's,
I love the idea.
That's how we're going to do it here today. Let's see. Who are some of the best? So someone, Mr. Smooth here on Twitter says, using LeBron's voice, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. Yeah, I don't think anyone in the NBA says that anymore. But yeah, Steph could be counting upwards. Chris says, hey, I can introduce you to Roz if you want.
Nice. That's a good one.
Very nice. Matt Aldridge says, Draymond will still kick you in the balls. Oh, let's see. This is another good one. This says, hey, do you think we should pass it to Klay?
People are getting creative. I put it on Facebook, too. There's some pretty funny ones there as well, so you have to check that out.
Very good. We'll let you, since it is your picture, we'll let you pick the winner, by the
way.
Okay, you get to pick the winner today, so you got to impress her, not me. One person here on the text line says, Damon, did you hear the interview with Derek Carr today and Greg Papa? Derek has been training to be a franchise quarterback since he was 12 years old, and his brother was in the NFL. I don't know how other quarterbacks were selected ahead of him. The man is the real deal. Go Raider Nation. That's from Dan in Sunnyvale. You know, there's something to be said for a legacy player. There's something to be said for someone who's got a family who's already in the family business of being a professional athlete. It's something that Derek Carr has taken advantage of. It's something that Steph Curry has taken advantage of. And it's something that Klay Thompson has taken advantage of. Obviously, you got Klay Thompson, whose brother, come on, is a professional athlete too. He plays for the Dodgers. His father obviously played for the Lakers. But it really is another member of the Thompson family that has stolen all the headlines over the last couple of months, and it has nothing to do with Klay in Rio. It has to do with Rocco in L.A., and that's where Klay and I began our conversation today. Klay, thanks for stopping on by. Let's get to the biggest story of the offseason. It's not you winning a gold medal. It's Rocco taking a dump at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, not the proudest moment as a father, but pretty ballsy and legendary on Rocco's part. I don't know a lot of humans or animals who got the guts to go to the bathroom on national TV. So I was, he surprised me.
It was impressive. It was impressive. I think it's a nice moment for everyone.
Yeah. I think, the Giants fans enjoyed it, so.
They did. Is that a secret, message to the Dodgers from you in some cryptic way?
No, not at all. I'm still a Dodgers fan at heart. They had a great year, obviously, NL West champs, and Trace played well. Unfortunately, got injured, but. You know, they got a promising future. They got a lot of young prospects and a lot of veteran leadership. So excited to see them playing in October.
Speaking of veteran leadership, that's you now here, yeah. Right? How many media days is this for you? And this is officially bigger than it used to be, isn't it?
It is. This is six media days. We got a press conference now. We got 1,000 cameramen, and it's great. You know, you got to enjoy media day. Every time you're here, it's an honor. My 6-1.
How many times will you be asked today, how was your offseason?
At least 20. That's a educated guess, too. So,
do you think a player has ever admitted to having a bad offseason?
Admit it? Yeah, I think a player has. I think I had a good offseason, though. You know, being able to go to Brazil and take some time off is successful to me.
What was the best part of playing for Coach K in the Rio experience?
Best part about the Rio experience? Probably not just the hoops part, but going to see other events, hanging out with other athletes who this is their craft and see their craft and what they mean to their country. And just seeing, you know, I got to see Usain run and Michael Phelps swim. And not a lot of people can say that. So that was probably my favorite experience outside of hoops.
Very cool. Netflix series that you binge watched.
I don't know if it's on Netflix, but I watched about 20 hours of Power when I was in Brazil. I was hooked. Good show. It really shocked me. I didn't know it was going to be that good. You know, it's got great characters, great storyline, great writing. And I fell in love with it.
So much of this season is about how all you guys share the ball together. You, Durant, Curry, you were just sharing a ball and a picture together. Is there enough ball to go around?
Yeah. I mean, we put out an unselfish team. I think you've seen it the last couple of years with our ball movement and our unselfishness. So there's plenty to go around. I mean, there's going to be different nights where guys excel, and there's going to be other nights where guys got to take not a back seat, but you don't see the numbers that other guys will. That's fine. I'm sure you know this day it's all about the wins, you know. So it'll be a fun thing to watch, too, and it'll be even more fun to be a part of.
What kind of advantage do you and Draymond have with the Rio experience with Durant? Do you feel like you know him better already?
I do feel like I know him better. I just know he's an easy guy to play with. Just, you know, you don't even have to. I didn't even have to play with him in Rio to see that. Just the way he played in OKC, the guy doesn't. He's obviously a great one-on-one player, but he doesn't dominate the ball, and he fits into exactly what we want to do. And I think that was a big draw for why he came. So, still surreal that I see him over there, and makes the year that much more exciting.
It does, man. Hey, thanks an awful lot. I know you got a lot to do today. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks,
Klay Thompson. Good to catch up with him. I mean, these guys with gold medals are just getting pulled in a million different directions. And it was really cool that I got to go in a direction that they were pulled in on Saturday. Thanks so much to the GSW Foundation, the Warriors Foundation, which has raised annually about $1.5 million for fantastic local charities that they distribute the money with. The Warriors do an awesome job. An awesome, awesome job. Not playing the "aren't we ingrained in the community for photo ops" card. They're really ingrained in the community. The Warriors open up new basketball courts. They provide campership moments for kids. They do clinics for kids. They do an awful lot to give back. We're going to be very involved in the Warriors Foundation. I think they do a great, great job. On Saturday night, I had the privilege of being one of a handful of people invited along with a whole bunch of well-to-do season ticket holders who made a very generous donation to the Warriors Foundation for a parent-kids clinic with the three gold medalists. Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant were all there and got to shoot some hoops with them.
That's awesome.
It was pretty cool, I got to tell you. I did wear the candy stripes. Left an impression on Zaza Pachulia.
Vote Zaza Pachulia. Yeah.
He liked the pants.
He
liked the pants. I showed up today wearing jeans, and he goes, "Where are the pants?"
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And then so I started singing to him.
Vote Zaza Pachulia. Yeah.
I love that. I'm not going to lie to you. We're going to be playing that a lot this year. I actually asked him about that in a quick interview that we'll play for you at some point in time. Or maybe you can find it online since we're running out of time, running out of hours. We have a Dell replay coming up at 6 o'clock. We have Bruce Jenkins joining us to talk about Jose Fernandez, this game tonight in Miami, which, by the way, is just a glass case of emotion. I mean, it really is. You have Marlins crying in the pregame. You have D. Gordon leading the game off with a home run. Someone said that you're not allowed to start your at-bat in one batter's box and then switch. I think they waived that rule tonight for D. Gordon to take a ceremonial first pitch to honor his teammate. He then got into the other batter's box and hit a leadoff home run and is crying while he's circling the bases. It's really, really something else. The Warrior season is going to arrive quickly. Saturday, as a matter of fact. It's back.
First preseason game.
And this is something that everyone there is talking about. You know, hey, how was that offseason? What offseason? Especially if you were an Olympian. Curry got some time. Everyone who wasn't an Olympian got some time away. You know who worked as much as anyone through the offseason? Whose offseason went like that? Roz.
Yeah.
Roz was with the Olympic team. Then she's now doing like WNBA games. I mean, she is a hard working woman. And again, good hair day for her on Media Day. You're having a great, great hair day. It goes without saying, all my day, like, it just needs to be a day for me to be having a great hair day. As long as the sun rises, so will my great hair day.
You're always having a
I'm not going to lie. It's pretty nice. It's one genetic gift that I was given, and I share it with you. Not on the radio, but you have to take my word for it. It really is. It's beautiful.
It's good hair.
Thank you.
Varejao had a good hair day today as well.
Varejao had a really nice hair day. By the way, if you are worried that you cannot get a Damon Bruce at every Ike's because it's not on the menu when you walk in, it's at every Ike's. You can order a Damon Bruce from any Ike's. I just texted Ike to make sure. Someone on the text line was like, your sandwich isn't available in Salinas. It might not be on the big board, but it's available. Go put me in your mouth. I'm delicious.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.